Hello folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us at our website aminutetomidnight.com. Go down the right hand side of the page and enter your email address where it says subscribe to blog. This is one of those videos where, unfortunately, if you're on YouTube, I'll have to just post a trailer and you'll have to go to our website or our Rumble channel or BitChute channel to see the full video, because I can say almost for sure that it would be taken down if I posted the full video on YouTube. So it's not worth the risk. So please note, this is just a trailer on YouTube, and then go to our website for the rest of the video. The population of the world has been lied to. There are a bunch of psychopath elites that control this world system, and they have an underlying agenda. I want to play you a series of short clips that show you how you've been lied to and some of the results of that that are starting to show through now. And I'm talking about the injection mandate rollout following the pandemic of the CV. So I will start off by reading a bit of an article at All News Pipeline, and then I'll play you some short clips. The article at All News Pipeline is titled, "Absolute Proof Globalists Knew It Could Take Years for All Hell to Break Loose Following Release of a New," and the V word in there, "Setting World Up for Their Next," V word, "Endgame, Death and Depopulation." And now I will play you this first little clip.
Many scientists are beginning to believe that a vaccine against AIDS may be impossible to make and too dangerous to test.
If you take it and then a year goes by and everybody's fine, then you say, okay, that's good. Now let's give it to 500 people. And then a year goes by and everything's fine. You say, well, then now let's give it to thousands of people. And then you find out that it takes 12 years for all hell to break loose. And then what have you done?
Back to the All News Pipeline article by Stephen Stanford. While double vaccinated and double boosted Joe Biden is tested positive for COVID once again, the latest proof to Americans that the vax never worked to prevent COVID, and the latest evidence to the so-called anti-vaxxers that their judgment in not taking the hastily created shot was correct. If only Dr. Anthony Fauci had listened to his own words from back in February 1999. With Biden originally testing positive for COVID on July 21st, that positive diagnosis came on the one-year anniversary of Biden falsely claiming that vaccinated couldn't get COVID. Certainly with the quadruple-vaxxed Biden joining quadruple-vaxxed Fauci in catching COVID despite the vaxxers, just more proof to everyone paying attention that we've been lied to by our public servants every step of the way. Why would the long-term vaccine trials that Fauci referred to back in 1999 be totally ignored in our present day unless something incredibly sinister was at play?
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Hey, folks, guess you heard. This morning I tested positive for COVID.
And when people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
Dr. Fauci says he has COVID again.
If you've done the right thing and gotten vaccinated, you deserve the freedom to be safe from COVID-19.
And this morning, I learned I tested positive for COVID-19 as well.
With three doses that you've been prevented, not just from serious illness, but from getting this virus, this Omicron variant, and therefore giving it to others.
Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews is in quarantine for 7 days after testing positive to COVID.
So I'm fully vaccinated. It gives me some comfort.
Anthony Albanese has just tested positive for coronavirus.
Having received two doses of AstraZeneca, it's a very effective vaccine, protection from symptomatic illness and therefore risk of transmission to others.
Someone sent me that video. I'm not sure where it originated from, but I think it speaks pretty loudly for itself. This next clip comes from Davos earlier this year with Klaus Schwab and Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla continuing to pump out the lies regarding the vaccines.
Now, some people may argue you have now these new treatments. Some people may argue, why should I get vaccinated if there is a treatment? Well, how would you respond?
Because I think the goal is not for you to get sick and then treat you. The goal is to prevent the sickness. Yeah. And that will maximize your chances to do well, and that will maximize the chances of people that you love not to get infected.
Yeah.
You vaccinate not only for yourself, you vaccinate also to protect society, and particularly to protect those that you love the most, because they are the ones that you are together.
It should be abundantly clear to everyone by now that these vaccines do not stop anybody from getting COVID-19 or from passing it on. This is from Fox News. Article, Biden tests positive for COVID in rebound case, doctor says. President Biden tested positive for COVID-19 in a rebound case on Saturday, according to the White House, as described last week, acknowledging the potential for so-called rebound COVID positivity observed in a small percentage of people treated with Paxlovid. The president increased his testing cadence both to protect people around him and to assure early detection of any return of viral replication, White House Dr. Kevin O'Connor said. O'Connor said in the letter that Biden tested negative for COVID-19 on Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and Friday morning, but tested positive on Saturday morning. I was sent this clip recently regarding Paxlovid. I can't vouch for its accuracy, and I don't actually know who the nurse speaking in the video is, but it's worth watching for another potential angle of this whole saga.
Nobody's talked about this, so I'm going to try to get this in 3 minutes. I read yesterday, or maybe the day before, that Governor Gavin Newsom has COVID-19 again after his fourth booster, and he was prescribed Paxlovid. And I've talked about Paxlovid. A couple of months ago, I talked about it at the World Economic Forum. The CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, was discussing Paxlovid in particular, okay, and how they're going to be rolling that out. The generic name for Paxlovid is ritonavir. Anything that ends in V-I-R means antiviral. So I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. But why does that drug sound familiar to me? As a nurse, we have to take courses all the time to make sure that we're up to date on the latest medications. So I looked up ritonavir. Let me read to you what ritonavir is. Ritonavir is an inhibitor, an anti-HIV drug that reduces the amount of virus in the body. Anti-HIV drugs such as ritonavir slow down or prevent damage to the immune system to reduce the risk of developing AIDS. Now, if you've been doing your research, you know that when they developed the vaccine, they reinforced the vaccine with fragments of HIV so that it can do its job in the body. And that many people now are turning up positive for HIV. Their T3 cells and B3 cells are dipping. Their white blood cells are going wacko. Their blood work's not right. And they're getting sick. And I keep hearing as a nurse, I can't get over it. I just can't get over it. I can't get over whatever illness I have. I can't get over it. It's because those damn vaccines had fragments of HIV. So Big Pharma had the idea. Create the problem. Here's the solution. Paxlovid. It'll keep you alive. It's an anti-HIV drug. Read what's behind me. Just so you see. Ritonavir. Boosted. Nirmatrelvir. Paxlovid. COVID-19 treatment guidelines. Big Pharma is going to be making a ton of money. Pretty much another article I read is that they're hoping that people will be begging for this medication to stay alive because it's going to be the only way to reduce having vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Look it up. I hope I didn't confuse you guys. But ritonavir and Paxlovid are synonymous with the same thing. Same thing.
Now, if you listen again to Klaus Schwab and Albert Bourla, you can hear them using the term compliance, which to me is a pretty forceful term, and they're not planning on stopping rolling out this regime anytime soon.
Now, how many vaccinations do we need in the future?
It's a very good question. And I think, first of all, I think we will need vaccinations in the future, but also I'm concerned that the compliance of the population with the recommendations of the experts will not be very high. More people did the first dose, and then lesser did the second, and then lesser will do the third and the fourth. And so for that reason, we need to find a solution that makes it easy for people to get. And I think this solution, it is the number one priority is to have a vaccine that lasts a year. So once people know that it is once a year, I do it every autumn, for example, fall, I think that will improve the amount of people that are getting the vaccine.
And I think you, there are also certain attempts to combine it with a anti-flu vaccine.
That is another very good way to make it, to improve compliance. If someone thinks that I'm going to go to the doctor or to the pharmacy, but at least with one shot I will get two, flu and that also will increase the number. So these are the things. It's very difficult to improve the efficacy right now. It's very, very high. But what you can improve it is how convenient it is, and how can last the efficacy for a longer period of time.
Here's an article from the Daily Mail from July 31st. COVID reinfection rate with treatment Biden is taking is more than 40% and not 2% as marketed. Paxlovid is thought to suppress immune response, meaning body can't fight off new infection. New studies show that COVID-19 miracle drug Paxlovid is not preventing against reinfection at rates initially reported. One doctor suggested that the rebound rates after a course of Paxlovid is likely 20 to 40% or higher. This comes as President Joe Biden confirmed he has been reinfected with COVID-19. This week, Pfizer, the pharma giant that manufactures a drug, posted huge sales growth in the second quarter, with Paxlovid sales raking in $8.1 billion. Not only are the vaccines useless in stopping transmission of COVID-19, they also don't stop people from dying either, because if you look at the figures for New Zealand, for example, the highest number of people dying with COVID-19 are those who have had the booster shots. The vaccines don't stop people from getting sick. But aside from that, there are the all-cause deaths which are growing across the planet as well. This example in the Expose is dealing with Scotland. Dramatic and unexplained resurgence in excess deaths point to COVID injections. Edinburgh professor claims latest data confirms causal relationship as he calls for the Scottish Government to reopen public inquiry. Retired Edinburgh professor Richard Enos says official data for 2021 and 2022 provide very strong evidence for a causal relationship between the vaccinations and the huge number of excess deaths in the country, wrote Graham Crawford in an article published by Holding the Line. Professor Enos has written to Syobian Brown, MSP, convener of the Scottish Government COVID-19 Recovery Committee, calling on her to reopen a public inquiry into the deaths, which can only be partially explained by the virus. Earlier this year, the committee investigated the cause of an unprecedented level of excess death recorded in Scotland from week 21 to week 52 of 2021. Numbering 4,819, it was 12% above the average, the worst ever recorded. Recorded deaths so far in 2022 are heading in the same direction, and Professor Enos suggests they are now a consequence of the booster jab. There's an article at LifeSite News titled, "It Was Never a Pandemic of the Unvaccinated, and Official Public Health Data Prove It." Now, there's a whole lot of statistics and so forth on that page, but I'm not going to go through them. I will just go down and to the basically the summary. The take-homes are staring us in the face. Whether you look at hospitalizations or deaths, those who are vaccinated with four or more doses are the worst off. People who've received four doses or more are around 100 times more likely to be hospitalized than those who are unvaccinated. This difference is a massive two orders of magnitude that is likely to include a hefty signal regardless of how dirty the underlying data are. We also see what appears to be a clear dose response. The more doses, the more likely you are to be hospitalized. If you look at statistics for all of this, you can see, one, the VAERS reports where adverse reactions to the vaccine are reported or underreported, you'll see a massive number of people reporting injuries from the vaccine. You have the number of people who are catching COVID-19 after being vaccinated and dying. And the more vaccine shots you have, the more deaths there are in the statistics. And thirdly, there's all-cause mortality, which people are just dying from all sorts of other things many times that will not be attributed to the vaccine. They'll be attributed to anything other than the vaccine. But the trend is there. More people are dying from all causes. And I think you'll find that the vaccine is behind a lot of those extra deaths. But now let's look at this latest, the monkeypox. From Fox News, July 30th, New York Governor, monkeypox is a disaster emergency. New York Governor Kathy Hochul issued an executive order on Friday declaring a state disaster emergency in response to the monkeypox outbreak. New York is the epicenter of the outbreak in the U.S., and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that there are currently 1,345 confirmed monkeypox and orthopoxvirus cases in the Empire State. After reviewing the latest data on the monkeypox outbreak in New York State, I am declaring a state disaster emergency to strengthen our aggressive ongoing efforts to confront this outbreak, the leader wrote in a statement. More than one in four monkeypox cases in this country are in New York State, and we need to utilize every tool in our arsenal as we respond. It's especially important to recognize the ways in which the outbreak is currently having a disproportionate impact on certain at-risk groups, which are, as we know, gay men. That's why my team and I are working around the clock to secure more vaccines. Here we go. Expand testing capacity. Here we go again. And responsibly educate the public on how to stay safe during this outbreak, she said. And then from August 1st, New York City and Illinois declares state of emergency over monkeypox. New York City Mayor Eric Adams on Monday declared a state of emergency over the monkeypox outbreak that has now infected more than 1,200 people in the city, representing a quarter of all cases nationwide. Adams said his order will bolster the city's efforts to educate, vaccinate, test, and treat as many New Yorkers as possible, ensure a whole-of-government response to this outbreak. Adams' state of emergency will allow him to suspend local laws and implement new health rules. See, folks, here we go again. This is a repeat. I'm not saying that monkeypox will end up to be the next pandemic like COVID-19, but hey, we shall see what excuses they use to push new health measures and vaccinations on the population of not only the New York City, but perhaps the world as a whole.
Now, on the second question, shall we are afraid of a new, very different virus that would come, and we have now all these examples with the monkey pox. I don't think we should be afraid, but I think we should be prepared.
Let's scoot across to an article at Newsweek.com. Fact check. Did Bill Gates predict the monkeypox outbreak? This is from the 19th of May. Multiple Twitter posts have suggested that Microsoft founder Bill Gates had predicted the likelihood of a smallpox outbreak ahead of recently recorded cases of monkeypox in the US and Europe. The billionaire has spoken about the possibility of smallpox-type virus being used as a bioterrorist weapon, accounts of which have been highlighted on social media. Gates has been a common target of, listen to this, conspiracy theorists throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, and here we go, gaslighting, often baselessly portrayed as an architect of the crisis. In May 2022, multiple social media posts reported that Bill Gates had recently warned of a smallpox outbreak. Some of these commentators implicitly hint at Gates' purported role in the spread of monkeypox cases reported in the US and Europe. Many of the posts are tied into pre-existing, here we go, conspiracy theory narratives about the Microsoft founder and his foundation. So there's a bunch of those. They show Twitter posts. While Gates has talked about the possibility of bioterrorist smallpox attacks in the past, his comments have been drawn slightly out of context and don't mention monkeypox, according to this. In November 2021, during a policy exchange interview with the chair of the UK's Health Select Committee, Jeremy Hunt, Gates warned governments should prepare for future pandemics and smallpox terror attacks. And I won't read all of it. Going down the article, crucially, Gates has not mentioned monkeypox specifically in his previous engagements, instead mostly talking about the threat of bioterrorism in a hypothetical manner. Monkeypox is a smallpox-like virus that can leave victims with a painful rash and can be fatal if not treated. While similar to smallpox, it often has milder symptoms, often beginning with a fever, headaches, muscle aches, and exhaustion. Gates previously estimated that a coordinated smallpox attack could leave tens of millions of deaths, whereas so far only a small number of cases of monkeypox have been recorded globally. And it goes down further. As it stands, while the US has bought millions of monkeypox vaccines, public health officials say the risk is little cause for concern. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has said the risk of catching the disease remains extremely rare. And Gates has been the target of conspiracy theorists. During and before the COVID-19 pandemic, the billionaire has even joked about such theories, jibing at the idea that COVID-19 vaccines are used to kill and track people. See how they're disparaging anybody that calls out the conspiracy? Okay, now I want to just skip to another article. So while Newsweek was busy trying to make conspiracy theorists look like nut jobs again, they did not bring out this fact from the New York Post. International simulation in 2021 predicted current monkeypox outbreak, and this was written by Mary Kay Lynch on May 28th. An eerily accurate simulation exercise at the Munich Security Conference in March 2021 centered on a monkeypox outbreak and had the rare and potentially deadly hypothetical disease starting exactly where the real one, when the real one did. The Nuclear Threat Initiative, a non-profit founded by US mogul Ted Turner, who is basically a eugenicist, and former Democrat Senator Sam Nunn, gathered a panel of 19 experts, including government officials from the US and China, representatives from the World Health Organization and the UN, and researchers from the, here we go, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and major pharma companies to game out responses to a 12 monkeys-like bioterror attack. The fictional scenario, sponsored by Facebook co-founder Dustin Muscovich and his Open Philanthropies nonprofit, hinged on the secret release of a lab-enhanced monkeypox virus that eventually killed 271 million people in a worldwide 19-month pandemic. The simulation's imaginary launch date was May 15th, 2022, the same week that marked the real-world start of the first international outbreak of the viral disease more than a year after the globalist group met. Some social media activity has included disinformation about our exercise, the group complained on its website after posts about the weirdly prescient planning session trended on Chinese chat site Weibo. The key takeaway from our exercise is not the specific pathogen in our fictional scenario. It is the fact that the world is woefully unprepared to guard against future pandemics, the statement added. But critics of the government response to the COVID-19 pandemic expressed doubt and mockery. There's never been a global monkeypox outbreak outside of Africa until now, in the exact week of the exact month predicted by biosecurity folks in their pandemic simulation, wrote attorney Michael Singer of the anti-lockdown Brownstone Institute. Take these guys to Vegas. And here we go, folks. Here is the paper. Strengthening global systems to prevent and respond to high consequence biological threats. Results from the 2021 tabletop exercise conducted in partnership with the Munich Security Conference. In March 2022, NTI partnered with the Munich Security Conference and so on. And now I'll skip down to page 10 of their PDF paper. And you can see here the timeline of the monkeypox simulation starts on May 15th, 2022 with a monkeypox outbreak, goes on from to January 10th, 2023 with 83 countries affected and 70 million cases, 1.3 million deaths. Then by May 10th, 2023, 480 million cases, 27 million deaths. And then by December 1st, 2023, 3.2 billion cases with 271 million deaths. So let's hope that that simulation exercise turns out to be completely wrong and nowhere near the truth. But it is very interesting that it actually occurred, that the simulation date of attack is exactly when the real monkeypox outbreak began. Seems way more than coincidence to me. So that monkeypox simulation was in a joint venture between the Munich Security Conference, which has been held since February 1963 and is a think tank of the globalist sort of leaders, and the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which was started by Ted Turner in 2001, and you will see the same usual suspects are involved in that as well as Ted Turner. You've seen donations from the Rockefeller Foundation, a large donation in 2021, so the same usual suspects are involved there as well.
But we also are at the tail end of the most serious health catastrophe of the last 100 years, COVID-19, and we have to reinforce our resilience against a new virus, possibly, or other risks which we have on the global agenda.
So there you have it, folks. Agenda's in plain sight. That's it for this video. Please make sure, as I mentioned earlier, you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com on our website. A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. It's always greatly appreciated when people help. And the music used, I've written, played and recorded. God bless, folks, and hopefully we'll be back with another video in a few days' time.